It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. I am still recording from my home studio because of COVID-19, so you may hear a cat cry in the background. I have several. Residents of Maine and New Hampshire rely heavily on private wells for their drinking water. But how safe is that water really? Today, we are discussing one of MDI Biological Laboratories' research training offerings, the SEPA program. It stands for Science Education Partnership Award, and it addresses the contamination of well water by arsenic that leaches out of the bedrock. This is a major public health threat, as you can imagine, in Maine and in New Hampshire. The project is a collaboration between MDI Biological Laboratory and Dartmouth College. If you want to know more about the MDI Biolab, you can log on to mdibl.org. But their aim, they're in Bar Harbor, and the aim is to improve human health and lifespan by uncovering basic mechanisms of tissue repair and aging and regeneration. It's very exciting stuff, so I encourage you to log on and learn more about all the wonderful things they're doing. My guest today are Jane Disney. She's a PhD. She's the director and principal investigator of the Science Education Partnership Award Program. She's the director of research training at MDI Biological Lab and the director of the Community Environmental Health Laboratory, MDI Biolab. And Bruce Stanton, also a PhD, associate director of the science program, visiting scientist at the MDI Biolab, professor of microbiology and immunology and director of lung biology, the Lung Biology Center at Dartmouth Geisel School of Medicine. He's the former director of Dartmouth Toxic Medicals Superfund Research Program. A lot of information they're going to give you. Thank you both so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Carol. Thank you for having us.
Arsenic in well water, that's a terrifying thought on the face of it. So, Jane, I'll come to you first. What is the scope of the arsenic in well water threat in Maine? I mean, how many people are affected? What's the geographical areas that are most affected?
Well, 56% of households in the state are dependent on well water. And well water isn't regulated. So we know how much arsenic is bad to have in the water, as well as what are the bad levels of other toxic metals and contaminants. But there's no one who's going to really check on that if the homeowner doesn't check on it themselves. So that's the problem, is that people don't get their wells tested. They don't know if they have contaminants. And being that so many of us are reliant on well water, that's a lot of people that could be possibly affected. So we know arsenic in particular, which is the heavy metal that Bruce Stanton here and I are focused on, we know that arsenic can cause all kinds of health problems. And in particular, bladder cancer is an issue in northern New England. We have a 20% higher incidence of bladder cancer here, and we know that's attributable to exposure to arsenic, and yet still, knowing this, we don't have any safeguards in place for people. It's up to them, like I said, to take care of themselves.
Does it also cause or help facilitate diabetes, heart disease, reproductive, developmental, and cognitive problems, including lower IQs in children?
There are studies that support all of those things, yeah. So arsenic has lots of potential impacts on human health. So, and we have some areas of the state that have a type of bedrock, metasedimentary rock, that really leads these areas to have more of a problem than other areas. And some of them we know here are near the coast, especially around the Blue Hill area, the Surrey area we know in particular. We have some other areas that are particularly affected down in southern Maine and some in western Maine. So we've got a ubiquitous problem here in the state.
And it seems very scattered, that there's no rhyme or reason to it, that it's not, well, if you're on the coast, it has to do with, I don't know, sea level and water and that kind of thing, if it's in western Maine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has, well, it has more to do with the rock type, right? So what is what do we have 200 feet down that we're drilling into that has some arsenic in it that can leach into the well water? And it is a little scattered, which is why everyone needs to test their well, because it's really hard to know for sure that, you know, it's just this community or that community. We have some communities where, you know, we have our students and teachers all working together in this science education partnership project. And they have been monitoring their wells as citizen scientists. And, you know, some of these communities have hardly any arsenic, but then we'll have one or two wells that are really high in arsenic. So those two families were able to find out that they had a problem and get some information about how to mitigate the problem. So you just never know. Everybody really needs to test their well water.
They do. Dr. Stanton, if when we talk about exposure and long-term exposure, what does that mean? How long is long-term?
Well, the worrisome thing about arsenic and is that you could have exposure for a relatively short time, but it has a long-term impact. There are studies done in South America and over in Asia that show exposure many, many years later, 20 or 30 years later, can lead to chronic lung disease like COPD. And we know from some studies that we've done at Dartmouth that the exposure for mice can be transmitted to their pups, to their babies, and that there's evidence that it could even be transmitted to their babies. So although when you drink arsenic, it's eliminated from the body fairly rapidly, it looks like it has effects that are long-lasting, that is longer than the arsenic remains in your body. And that's really worrisome. And many epidemiological studies have indicated that there is no safe level of arsenic exposure. And so we're really recommending, both at Dartmouth and the MDI Biolab, that people minimize the exposure to arsenic and, like Jane said, test your well on a regular basis, not just for arsenic, but when you're testing for E. coli, bacteria, that you test for arsenic as well.
What populations, subgroups of populations, are the most vulnerable to this? I'm thinking maybe children. So if a senior has their grandchildren over and they're giving them, you know, hey, do you want a drink of water? How dangerous is that?
Right. So it turns out that one of the adverse effects that arsenic has is on the immune system. And as unfortunately we know during this COVID-19 pandemic, that the immune system of children, which is developing, and I'm talking about young children, and then older adults, those immune systems are particularly susceptible to arsenic exposure. And we know that arsenic exposure can make viral infections much, much worse. We don't as yet have any direct evidence of arsenic exposure in COVID-19, but based on other studies, we would predict that the very young and the older populations, if they're exposed to arsenic, they might. And this is just a prediction. We have to look at the science. But it might make the COVID-19 worse. And we know that some people get COVID-19 and they don't have worse outcomes or bad outcomes, and other people have very poor outcomes. And we're speculating that that might be related to environmental as well as other issues. And one of those possibilities could be arsenic.
How often should someone test their well?
Jane, you want to take that one?
Well, I've heard the recommendation is at least every 3 years, but we have a really interesting supplement on our SEPA grant that involves work by College of the Atlantic students and their professor, Sarah Hall. And they are looking at the seasonality of arsenic in well water. And their preliminary findings are supporting some other work that's been published in the literature to show that, in a very dry season, you might have a very different level of arsenic than you would have in a very wet season. And so I would put forth that annual testing is probably prudent because you don't really know what your level is going to be at a yearly basis. And I would also put forth that maybe it's worth testing during drought or during a rainy period to see if there's a significant difference. So maybe if you're on the borderline, you know you have, say, 5 parts per billion or less of arsenic, and then you try again in a different season, you might find, whoa, now I'm above 5 or above the EPA limit of 10 parts per billion, and it's really time for me to do something and put a filter on my household water.
When we come back, we will talk more about this, how to get your own test and what you can do if your well does have arsenic. So stay with us. There is much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk discussing well water. So how, we talked about how often someone should really test their water and at different seasons and environmental conditions or weather conditions. How does someone get the test, and is it an expensive test? And how is it easy to do?
Yeah, it's very easy to do, and it's very easy to get access to the test. So we have the Health and Environmental Testing Laboratory here in the state of Maine, and you can find it at the maine.gov website. And so you will be asked to consider what test you want done, if it's just bacteria, it's one thing, but if you want all of the metals done too, including arsenic, then it requires a little bit more, and it's about $30 to have the test run. So they'll mail to you a box that has a bunch of little sample bottles with instructions, and literally you will run that faucet and grab a bottle of water and put the screw cap back on and put it back in the box and mail it. And it really is pretty easy to do. And for those who can't afford the $30 test, you can apply to have that cost reduced, or it can even be a free test for you if necessary. Right now, there's a few hurdles to getting the test run for free, including having to demonstrate that you're from a high-risk area or a letter from a doctor saying that you have some other health risks that require that you get some support for this test right now. But there's some legislation in the works in Maine, and that would take down those barriers and just give people who need the test for free access to that test for free, without needing letters or demonstration that they're from a high-risk area.
If someone has an arsenic level in their well, it's found to be high because they did the test, what can they do to mitigate that health threat? They obviously can't change their well out. What can you do?
Well, it depends on how much arsenic. And also it might depend on what other metals and contaminants are present. But if you have a fairly low level of arsenic, you might be able to just put in a simple filtration system at the sink. If you had very high levels of arsenic, like in the hundreds of parts per billion, you might need to consider putting on a whole house filtration system, because high levels of arsenic can irritate the skin. So it really depends. Now, for people who have low levels of arsenic and they don't want to go to the trouble of the kitchen sink filter, they can look at using pitcher filters. And we've talked about this in the past with you, Carol, about different pitcher filter systems. Bruce has done more research in this area and can talk a little bit about what are the best pitcher filters to use.
I have to tell you anecdotally, so the last time that we did discuss this on a show a couple of years ago, Bruce did talk about the zero water filter system. And so after the show, I immediately went out and I bought it. And I can't believe what a difference it makes. I recommend it. Neither one of us have stock in the company. I recommend 1,000% this zero filtration system. The water is amazing. It's the difference between filtered and not filtered now. I live in Bangor. I'm on Bangor water. Bangor water's safe. But my water tastes bad. And it could be, my house is almost 100 years old. It could be a pipe issue. I don't know. But this system, and it's not expensive, but I can't believe how great it works. Huge advocate for the zero filtration system. You can buy it right online. Or I think Bed Bath & Beyond has it as well. But go ahead, Bruce. You can...
Thanks, Carol. I'm really glad it worked out for you. I too use it, and I, like you, are on public water. So there are a bunch of options. Once you get your test back, as Jane just mentioned, if you have low levels, and you know, right now the Environmental Protection Agency in the state of Maine recommend if it's above 10. 10 parts per billion or 10 micrograms. So if it's above that, they recommend that you get your test back. You immediately either start drinking and cooking with bottled water or switch to a filter. We did a study a few years ago where we compared a number of commercial filters, and we found the only one of about five or six that we tested that took all the arsenic out. It, you know, astronomically high levels down to undetectable, was the zero water filter. There's a couple of advantages of zero water over bottled water. With bottled water, you generate a lot of waste, either plastic or cans or bottles that you either have to recycle or unfortunately throw in the trash. Tends to be expensive. With the zero water filter, it's like Carol said, it's not that expensive. You can filter a lot of water. It tastes great. Also, when you buy the pitcher, it comes with a little meter that tests how effective the filter is. And when the filter stops working, the test will tell you time to replace it. The other great thing about zero water is you can actually recycle it, and they'll send you a little coupon for some money off on the next time you buy a filter. As Jane said, if the levels are very, very high, then you really need to have all of the water coming into your house filter, and that's where you have to contact a professional company that will come in and give you advice for the best way for your particular water. And as Jane mentioned, there might be other things in the water, so it's not one solution fits all to take arsenic and other things out of the water. It really depends what's there. So you have to have a professional come in, test the water.
When we come back, we will talk more about this. So stay with us. More to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. So I have a question about the water. And so we're testing it. But if you're a gardener, because so many people in Maine garden, it's really wonderful and healthy, but they have to water their gardens. And so can the arsenic get into the produce that people are growing?
So, Carol, that's a great question. There are studies that show that plants can take up arsenic. The most worrisome plant actually that wouldn't be actually gardened in Maine is rice, and especially brown rice grown in the southern United States. And that brown rice, or the rice is grown in fields that used to be cotton fields where they sprayed arsenical pesticides. And it turns out that rice is really good at taking up arsenic from the old fields and then accumulating it in the brown part of the rice, the husks. And if you eat a lot of brown rice from the southern region of the U.S., you can get significant amounts of arsenic. So how does that relate to Maine? Well, there are some places where arsenical pesticides were used. They're no longer used, to my knowledge, but they stay in the soil for a very, very long time. What increases the ability of plants to take up arsenic is if the ground gets very wet. It turns out that the water makes the arsenic a lot easier to accumulate and get into the plants. So I would say in general, unless you're doing a garden in an area that they used arsenical pesticides, or if you're watering that garden with very, very high levels of arsenic in your well water, it's probably not that significant. I haven't really seen any studies that would suggest that, you know, a regular garden that you might have in the state of Maine would lead to worrisome levels of arsenic in garden-derived food.
Can the water contain other environmental contaminants, though, like uranium or other things that would be dangerous? Can you test for that in this test that you can send away to the state for?
So, Jane, do you want to talk about the SEPA studies where some of the classes have seen uranium in the water?
Yeah, so when the students in our program collect their well water samples, they're sent to the Trace Element Analysis Core at Dartmouth, and we actually get a readout of 14 different metals. And so the students get data on uranium, lead, iron, copper, all kinds of things, in addition to arsenic. And we definitely are finding that some of the households in our program, and we've looked at over 2,000 water samples already in the past couple of years, there is high uranium, sometimes high lead. And so some communities have more than one issue that they're dealing with. And like I said earlier, this could determine exactly what kind of filtration system or what kind of mitigation you want to do for your household drinking water. So you asked a question earlier, Carol, about what does the medical community understand about the threat of these contaminants in well water? And I don't know that I have an overall answer, but some teachers and participants in our SEPA program have mentioned to us that they're surprised now that they know more, that when they go to their doctor with a health concern, the doctor never thinks to ask, well, are you on well water? And maybe some of your health concerns might be related to what you're drinking. So I don't know if we're ready to talk about that, no. But
we don't. We have about 30 seconds left. So yeah. I think what we should do is just plan on doing a separate show just on the physical aspects of well water, and you'll have to come back.
Oh,
how does
we'll
that sound?
Have to come back and talk about that one, because I have a teacher that's going to work with a doctor in the community to try to raise awareness and not only hand out kits, but hand out the zero water pitcher filters to people in their community.
Oh, excellent.
Isn't that
exciting? Those things are the best. Everybody listening, go get a zero water filter. Jane Disney, Bruce Stanton, thank you so much for being here. It was great information. We will do a show again about the medical community and the physical aspects of being contaminated with arsenic. Great show. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening.